From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made on Media Day before the Super Bowl. Most of the time, star athletes visit radio shows to chat and to hawk products, cookies, candy bars, sports drinks, milk, whatever. But for the first time, an NFL player had been named a Special Olympics Global Ambassador. And on Radio Row, that athlete was pushing something different. The athlete is Joe Haden, a cornerback for the Cleveland Browns. And in interview after interview, Haden was not shilling a product. He was representing a movement called Spread the Word to End the Word. The word, it's what's become known as the R word, retard or retarded. Joe Haden's younger brother has a cognitive disorder that limits his language and speech, and the Haydens had to hear taunts, mocking, and yes, the R word, bandied about for many years. So Haden told the media, "Open up your vocabulary, people." He says there should be no place where you will hear the R-word, not even an NFL locker room. National Spread the Word to End the Word Day is coming up, and this hour we're having a conversation about the power of words, the power of change. Let me welcome my first guest for the hour. It's Corey Peels, an inclusion specialist at Rochester AmeriCorps and someone with an extraordinary personal story and the biggest smile I think I've seen on the program. It's great to have you. How are you?
Good.
I want to start with your own personal story, Corey, because some of our listeners may know it. They might have seen it in places here and there. Mm-hmm. But you're someone who was born in, well, tell us where you were born.
I was born in Bombay, India, and I was placed in a orphanage by Mother Teresa, who I met in person, because my parents passed away when I was a baby.
Okay, and then my understanding is you were in line to be adopted.
Yes,
but a family in India found out about a disability, and in and Indian, I don't want to speak too broadly, but the culture was that children with different abilities had a harder time.
Yes.
So what happened with you with that family?
Well, this was a family in the United States, and they lived out in Michigan, and when they found out that I had a intellectual disability, they changed their mind, because in their culture, having a disability was unaccepted. Mm-hmm. But in India, where I lived, it was okay. Because in my culture, where I was born, everyone was accepted for who they are.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you when that family decided, okay, that's not what we want? How old were you?
I was 4.
4 years old, around
yeah.
4 years old. And fast forward a little bit then, because things have, I think, worked out wonderfully for you.
But I think so, too.
I'm glad to hear you say
yes,
that.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
But after that happened then, so how did you end up here? What happened next?
The next thing, I had an escort, an agency escort had to fly me down to Rochester, because when there are certain countries that allow adopted families that come out there, but in India that's not allowed because of their religion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Some sort.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Sure. And then you find a family, and you've got a great chauffeur who's here today. Mom's here, but she's just hanging out with a big thumbs up and a smile for you. And Corey's kicking the thumbs up right back to Mom. How long did the process then take for you to sort of comfortably have a family here? And you know, did that move pretty quickly? How did that happen?
It took me a while. It took me like maybe two, like how long? A while. But because I didn't know what was going on. No one told me that I was going to go to a new family, to a new country, different places, different foods I've never had. I had cognitive speech delayed, and it was very late for me to learn. And my mom and my sister, who's also from India, who's also adopted, who doesn't have a disability, was there too.
And were you 4 years old when this happened as well? When you came here, about turning five years old.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have the adjustment, and that can't, as you said, that can't be an easy age for.
Oh, absolutely not.
I've got a child turning four, and you know, any disruption in the day-to-day and stuff. But this is just a totally different thing, coming to a new continent, new family, maybe new culture, traditions. You said food. Was the food okay? I mean, did you get used to it eventually?
But every time I would try something new, I would like kind of push the food away from me and kind of off the table. I didn't really didn't want to try it, didn't want to.
Well, you were born in the country with some of the most diverse and wonderful flavors in the world.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
And here, you know, well, there's a little less. So, but you made those adjustments, and you've had this, from all the looks of it, this wonderfully successful life in so many ways, with family, with education, with skating, with the work that you do now. So, but first I want to kind of pull back and ask a separate question, because what we're talking about today is the movement to end the R word. And I want to ask if you recall when you were growing up, Did you hear that word?
I've heard of that word before. I've heard people call names like stupid or dumb or the R word, and I just think to myself, you know, it's not okay. It's not acceptable behavior. The person who's calling those words are the person that's is controlled of who that person is and how that person can change that.
Do you remember anyone saying that to you, calling you that name?
Well, not. I don't really know if I had someone call me that name, but I've had people call me stupid or dumb, and I just ignore them.
You ignore it.
Yes.
And you know, Corey, there are people who may be listening right now who think, you know, the idea of calling someone the R word is obviously terrible. But some may think, well, that's great that you're ignoring it. Just ignore it. Let's not seek to to eliminate parts of language. Let's seek to condemn it where we see it, and then and take the power away from it, because we give words power. Yes. And some people will say, well, just ignore it. Do exactly what Corey did.
Mm-hmm.
But part of the movement, I think, is to educate about the impact of how much pain words like that can.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think? I mean, you just ignored it. I think some people aren't quite as strong mentally about that. That
mm-hmm.
they may feel that wound from it. Do we need a campaign to end the word?
We do need to have a campaign because, you know, not many people know what that means, or I'm sure they don't mean to say it, but I think there needs to be a campaign that says spread the word to end the word R.
Yep, so Spread the Word to End the Word has a national day. It's coming up here, and it's been happening since 2009, and you might hear just about every year. Well, we're proud to at least have the conversation, because this is part of our Move to Include initiative. It's a partnership between WXXI and the Golisano Foundation, designed to promote inclusion for people with intellectual and physical disabilities. Through programming and special events, WXXI and the Golisano Foundation look to build a more inclusive community by inspiring and motivating people to embrace different abilities and include all people in every aspect of community life. In a moment, we're going to check in with some other folks in the community. In fact, I think we have Ann Costello who's on the line who can join the conversation now. And Ann, how are you? Let me make sure we've got Ann. Go ahead, Ann. How are you?
I'm good, Evan. How are you?
Great.
Thanks for doing the show today on the R Word.
Well, you know, we've been talking to Corey, who was one of my favorite conversations when we talked to her last year, and I just wanted to invite her back because I think she has become such a strong advocate. I think she brings such great perspective. She's so impressive, and we're going to talk a little bit more about her story coming up here. But, you know, she was just explaining why she thinks we do need this campaign. Because, Anne, as you know, we occasionally hear from listeners who say, well, it's a great intention, but you don't need a campaign. Just don't give the word the power that it has. What do you think about that?
Well, I wish the word didn't have the power that it has. But unfortunately, we know that words matter. Words do have power. And people use words in ways that we wish they wouldn't. And when people say retarded or you're a retard, unfortunately, it is a negative stereotype of being slow, being less, being different than you or me. So we're just trying to educate and raise awareness to be careful about using words that could affect other people in ways that we hope we can change.
Give me a sense for how you've seen this campaign go over the years, Anne.
Oh, we've been at this now for 6 years in a row, and every year the momentum has built. And what I mean by that is more organizations get involved, and more organizations outside the traditional agencies that serve those with developmental disabilities. This year we have a number of junior high schools, high schools, a number of businesses. So the momentum is building, the community is engaged. And it's wonderful. That's exactly what we want. More people involved, more people aware, and more people helping us spread the word to end the word.
Spread the word to end the word day is Wednesday. That's March 2nd. What do you want people to do on Wednesday?
I want people to go online and take the pledge. And it's very simple, and it's free, and it takes a few seconds just to say, I personally, you can't be responsible for what other people do, but you can take the pledge that I pledge to not say the R word. I will not call people retarded. I will not use that word because I know it offends people who have intellectual disabilities.
So
that's the first thing. Take the pledge.
Okay. And then what else on Wednesday?
Well, on Wednesday, we have several activities going on in the community. One of the most fun and one that's been going on for a number of years is the Gregory Street Blues Band is playing at the cafeteria over at the University of Rochester Medical Center. There's talk in the community at the University of Rochester. I believe Roberts Wesleyan, Nazareth College, St. John Fisher, some of our other partners, and certainly Bishop Kearney this year has joined us in a major way. I'm not really sure what the students have planned, but I know they have activities.
We're going to find out in a few minutes. Steve Saluzzo, who's the president of Bishop Kearney, is going to join us at about 12:30 here. So we'll find out more about what they're doing.
Good.
And you know, and for our listeners who may think that this this debate might not even be necessary. Maybe you think, well, it's juvenile and people aren't really using that term, are they? Let me just read a few examples in recent years, because, and there are many. These are just kind of quick examples. But when Rahm Emanuel was still the White House chief of staff, he apologized for using the word retarded to describe liberals at a closed-door meeting in 2010. He used that word because he was upset that some were criticizing him. And he used that term. He expressed his regret to Tim Shriver, then the chief executive of the Special Olympics. And he was asked to take the pledge as well. So Rahm Emanuel's on the list. Here is Dan Savage, a relationship advice columnist, nationally known. And he was taken to task by some of his readers for using the term in a column. And he responded by writing, quote, "You know, I just sat down to write the column, and I'd use the word retard in a column. And there was a handful of letters taking me to task, and I thought about it, and I've decided I'm not going to use that term anymore." That's Dan Savage. You've seen it in popular culture. The Black Eyed Peas recorded a song called "Let's Get Retarded." Well, they changed that line to "Let's Get It Started," which is the only version, which is actually the only version I've ever heard, I'm happy to say.
Me too.
And Ta-Nehisi Coates, who is a well-known national columnist, wrote about the power of language. And here's what he wrote in response to some readers who said, whether it's the N-word, the R-word, whatever it is, why are we policing language? Why don't we take power away? And here's what Coates writes. He writes, quote, "As for retard, I don't really get the big deal. If you're a member of a particular group and I use a word which references your group and you, in good faith, tell me you find it offensive, then I will stop using it. I don't understand people who are out waging war over their right to say things like, that's so gay, or stop acting retarded. My question is always, why is it so important to you? Why do you need to say it?" What do you think about that, Ann?
Wow, that's pretty powerful. It puts the it puts it back on the person who feels the need to say it. I would hope that people realize that it's offensive to some of our neighbors and friends. Fortunately or unfortunately, we moved away from even worse labels for people with intellectual disabilities, and I don't know, a couple decades ago, landed on the medical term mental retardation. Unfortunately, the term, the word, has found its way into popular culture and language, and it's offensive. It means slow. It means stupid. It means I wish I wasn't like you. So, you know, we're evolving, Evan, and isn't it about humanity, and isn't it about acceptance and trying not to hurt another person's feelings?
One of our listeners sends a note along saying, just an update, 586,711 people have now signed that pledge, and it should be millions.
It should be.
So, Anne, again, where can people go to sign that pledge?
www.rword-word.org.
There it is, r-word.org.
I'm sorry, r-word.org.
No worries. And before I let you
and
go...
And it's right on the Golisano Foundation website or even the Special Olympics website.
And before I let you go, Anne, I just wanted to ask you, you know, when you describe what that word is intended to mean when it's used as an insult, one of the descriptions you gave was that it's made to make someone seem lesser. My concern is for people like Corey, who have done remarkable things already. We haven't even gotten to her ice skating career, advocacy work she does. But if we allowed perceptions of someone being lesser to dominate, maybe more doors remain closed as opposed to opening. That's my concern, because I understand the people who say, take the power out of a word. Don't ban it and don't tell people you have to sign a pledge. Just take the power out. Don't give it the explosive power that it can have. Belittle it, ignore it, mean on, move on. But I also think if you allow those things to perpetuate, that this notion of lesser, of someone being lesser, perpetuates, and then more doors remain closed. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right on. I think that's exactly the power of that word and the connotation that it's taken on over the years. It reduces, it stigmatizes, and it alienates, and it's offensive. So you're right on. And someone as wonderful as Corey doesn't need anything to label her as less or different. She's a magnificent, wonderful young woman, and she's done remarkable things, and that's what we should be celebrating, and that's what we know about her.
Well, I've got Ann Costello on the line for about two more minutes, and Corey Pierce is in studio with me here. Let me grab a phone call. Dan in Brighton is wanting to weigh in. Go ahead, Dan.
Hi, I'd like to point out that there's a creep in the terms, that every generation somebody comes up with a term that's supposed to be less pointing at, less bad, and they come out with a euphemism. It starts out as a euphemism, and then over a generation it becomes an insult. There was a time when imbecile or idiot were supposed to be nice terms. And retarded was definitely introduced as a euphemism, and I just wonder what the term will be in the generation that's introduced and becomes an insult in the generation. I'll hang up and listen on the radio.
Dan, thanks for the phone call. And my thought on that is, he's right that words do evolve with meaning, but I think it's fair for society to understand the intended meaning and then react to it appropriately. So a word that is used today, and I don't know what it would be in the future, that is sort of benign or an anodyne term today, may take on a different connotation, but that will be, you know, the place of all of us in the future to determine how it's intended to be used and what it's intended to do, right? I mean, I just feel like if something is meant to diminish, then it's easy to understand. That's what the term gay is. Gay did not used to be used in the way that it was. When I was growing up, that became a schoolyard insult in a very pejorative way. And mm-hmm. So you might say, well, a generation ago it wasn't. Well, that's true. That's true.
Right. That's right.
Right. So, and so maybe in the future, it's spread the word to end a different word, not to ban. Yeah. You know, no one here is policing
you're
life
right.
and saying
you're
going to be arrested
today
for
today we
words.
Know what the R word stands for, and today we'd like people to think before they say it and use it because of the connotation.
R-word.org. Ann Costello, thanks for taking the time to join the conversation.
Oh, my pleasure, and thanks for the show, Evan.
All right, thank you,
we'll
Ann.
We'll be in touch. Mm-hmm.
The Golisano Foundation is leading the way in this, and that's why we're proud to partner with them. And if you missed that, this is a partnership, Move to Include is a partnership between WXXI and the Golisano Foundation, designed to promote inclusion for people with intellectual and physical disabilities. Through programming and special events, WXXI and the Golisano Foundation look to build a more inclusive community by inspiring and motivating people to embrace different abilities and include all people in every aspect of community life. Beth in Brighton wants to weigh in with a question, and so it may be for Corey. So go ahead, Beth.
Hi, Evan. I was adopted, proud to say it. So I just wanted to applaud you for this show. But I think adoption is really an important part of what your program is about. And I hope in future times you will talk to people from CAP, et cetera, because adopting a child like this is just an amazing thing. And I'm proud of the parents, and I'm proud of him. And I just wanted to call in and say so.
Beth, thank you very much for the phone call. I think it's an important reminder that we probably could do a little bit more on adoption, both domestic and international. We'll look into that. We certainly will, because it is so important to so many families. And Beth, with a thumbs up for the family involved here and for Corey. So thank you, Beth. Let's do this. Let's get a short break, and we'll continue the conversation in just a moment. We're going to hear from Steve Saluzzo, who's the president of Bishop Kearney High School. You heard from Ann Costello and the Golisano Foundation. And Corey Peels is an inclusion specialist at Rochester AmeriCorps, sharing her story, her perspective, and the work she's doing as well. So short break, and more on ending the R word next. Coming up in our second hour, we take a look at Rochester's garment industry. This historic industry that once rivaled the big manufacturers in terms of number of people employed in Rochester. How did it change over the years? What is the story to Rochester? Hickey Freeman, Adrian Jules, Champion, and so much more. Our fashion and clothing industry next hour.
Support for your public radio station comes from our members and from the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra welcoming pianist Vadim Kolodenko for Prokofiev's Piano Concerto No. 3. In addition, music director Ward Stair leads Strauss's Ein Heldenleben this Thursday and Saturday. Tickets at rpo.org.
Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. And when we talk about ending the R word and just offering common respect and courtesy for all of our fellow citizenry, we were talking about people of all walks of life and background. And the very impressive Corey Peels is one of my guests today. And part of what Ann Costello and I were just talking about is the fact that if we minimize people and their abilities and their opportunities, then doors might not open. And whether that's education, whether that's work, whether that's skating, Special Olympics. Corey, can you tell us a little bit about your skating career, for example?
Sure. I've been skating for 15 years, 12 or 15 years. The way I started skating was I nagged at my mother over and over and over and asked her if I could skate, and she said no. And I said, why not?
She's wincing here. You're giving your mom a hard time. So you pushed.
Yes. Okay. I pushed every time, and she said, okay, fine. Go ahead and skate. And the next thing, my mom signed me up for skating, and then I went out there, and I showed her that I could skate.
And you can. And I've seen video of Corey skating. It's just as lyrical and beautiful as you would see any of the top skaters I've seen. I mean, I know you wanted to be Michelle Kwan growing up, and maybe Michelle Kwan's got an edge on you.
Yes, but, a little bit.
But you really do have these beautiful lines and movements on the ice. Did you find yourself sort of obsessing over it and wanting to
play? Yes, I did.
Because you can't get that good without the time you put in,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, I did, yes. And then when I started Special Olympics, that also changed my life as well, because it's about being inclusive and being accepted for who you are and not being judgmental and having people call you retarded or that, and I think that needs to end right now.
We're talking about ending the R word with Corey Peels, and on the phone with us now is Steve Saluzza, the president of Bishop Kearney. And Steve, thanks for taking the time to join the program. How are you?
And thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, Ann Costello was just saying that the work this week, and again, National Spread the Word to End the Word Day is coming up on Wednesday, that there are so many different organizations, schools, et cetera, that have been getting involved. Tell us about what Bishop Kearney's doing.
Sure. We've got a lot of things going on, actually, stemming from public service announcements that our students have been doing all week, beginning today, and we'll go through even through Wednesday into Friday. Our students, we have the luxury here at Bishop Kearney of having a TV studio. So each morning, instead of having morning announcements, we do the morning news. So as part of that, our students have been in their TV production class putting together short 15-second public service announcements, which we will not only use, obviously, this week, but then we'll use periodically throughout the year as well. In addition to that, on Wednesday, during our lunch periods, we were lucky enough to have one of the members of the Rochester Nighthawks to come, and he'll be taking the pledge to end the R word along with our students and signing the banner. Those are two events that we're doing that not only are with our students and obviously leveraging technology in the school, but also a community outreach. The last piece is that we've got a guest speaker coming in to talk about really curbing the use and ending the use of that word. I think a lot of people don't realize the implication they have when they use a derogatory term like that. And so we're going to have a speaker come in and address the students in that context as well. So we've got a nice week set up. My goal with this, quite honestly, is to not have a one-day deal, but to actually have some activation with it and have some students go out there and say, yeah, I want to take this pledge and I want to make a difference in the community.
Yeah, I think it is important to take that perspective that Steve is talking about, that when young people, teenagers, middle schoolers use certain terms, they may not have a good reference point on the possible impact. I mean, that's how I feel about the word gay, you know, when people
sure.
when people use it in a pejorative fashion. Look, I was a kid. I probably said lots of things that I wouldn't be proud of now. And I think that the education at an early level is important because while I don't want to condemn kids who may use that word, et cetera, I also want to give them the opportunity to kind of step up and embrace the challenge and understanding the impact. And it sounds like that's what's going on at Bishop Kearney, yeah?
Well, that's what we're hoping for. You try to do a lot of different things and provide students opportunities to grow in their formative years being in high school. And you know, like you said, people do silly things. I'll use the word sophomoric, if you will.
Sure.
And hopefully what we do is we're able to have our students really look back and say, geez, you know, I probably shouldn't do that. And I learned from that. And I'm trying to be a better person in that context. And, you know, obviously the fact that we're a Catholic school and you know, the Pope has put out his initiative for the Year of Mercy, helping those that are marginalized. And quite honestly, this program and this the End the Word event that we're doing dovetails very well right into that.
Well, Steve, let me read an email from a listener named Mark who says, Evan, this is all wonderfully intended, and your studio guest sounds like she has a truly inspiring story. He's referring to Corey, by the way. But Mark says, I just feel like what we're teaching people is to allow themselves to become too wounded by words, whether it's the N-word, the R-word, calling someone gay. I feel like we need to tell people, don't give others the power to hurt you that way. And that's the opposite of the message that I'm hearing. So that's from Mark, and I think it's a good faith email. I think he means well, but Steve, I know there's a lot of a disagreement. So what would you say
sure.
to someone like Mark?
Well, you know, I'm not going to say that I disagree with him. I'm just going to say that it needs to be understood in a context. Okay. So what I mean by that is you've got an opportunity for kids to learn. And when you're being flat out mean, then that needs to be addressed. When you're being ignorant, that also needs to be addressed. And I think there's two different conversations that take place in those lines. However, I think just telling somebody to grow some thicker skin, listen, if you're not the person receiving yeah. those derogatory terms, you really can't address that. And when you have a child who is has a developmental disability, I think it's that old the statement, walk a mile in someone's shoes, right? I think that you've got to understand that not only is it hurtful to that particular person, but it's hurtful to many, many people around them. And there are so many people, whatever the word is, whether it's the R word or any of the other words that the emailer mentioned, I think that we have decided that it's easier just to say, hey, grow thicker skin,
yeah.
as opposed to everybody saying, hey, listen, let's be a little more tolerant of each other.
I think that's well said because, and I don't know Mark or the emailer, but I mm-hmm. would say most of the time when I hear people saying, just have some thicker skin about it, they're coming from a place of privilege that they're usually not on the receiving end of that. So it's easy to say, and I think it is well intended, but, mm-hmm. but I think Steve's point's a very, very good one there. I guess I like to say be unoffendable. I'm tend to find
yeah.
myself as unoffendable. But I'm
sure.
but I am sensitive to others who are sort of attacked or mocked in any way. So you're not going to offend me personally. But if someone is saying something pejoratively attacking my friend Corey, then that's different. Then I'm going to be offended on her behalf, and I'm going to stand up and
absolutely. And I got on the call just as Corey was talking about skating. And Corey, I got to tell you, I think it's wonderful all the things that you're doing out there, and you use the word, Corey, inclusive, and you use the word acceptance, and I think those are two really, really important words for people to understand that we're not just doing this for one day. We're right. trying to be inclusive, and we're trying to be accepting beyond the one day of this event. And to I think that's where, Evan, the emailer, you can extrapolate it out a little bit more and say, listen, this is something that we're trying to produce globally all the time.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And by the way, listeners, if you want to check out Corey skating, we posted a video that tells her story. It's on Twitter now, so at Evan Dawson on Twitter. It's about an 8-minute video, Corey telling her story, and you get to see her on the ice. It's great stuff to see. So that's up there now. Steve, before I let you go, I'm also kind of drawn back to what another caller, Dan from Brighton, said, which is that, and I don't think to defend the use of language. I think Dan is just observing that throughout history, different words begin to take on different meanings or different connotations. And, you know, a generation from now, it'll be a word that we're not thinking of right now that people
sure.
start using in a way to attack and demean. And I think he's both right, but I think campaigns like this, and maybe this is way too sanguine of me, but let me just say, I think campaigns like this can remind us all that, number one, words have precise meanings, and we should use them precisely, if at all possible. And number two, in general, words that are intended to hurt or belittle should be expunged as quickly as we probably can do that. So I think Dan's probably right. There probably are always going to be certain pejoratives that sort of shift with connotation over time. But I think highlighting can have a positive effect, at least minimizing how typical that kind of language is. What do you think?
I absolutely agree. And I think it's also, you know, a movement like this it's bringing awareness and just making people aware that it is hurtful. And again, whether it's the R word or any other word, I think that people, you're right, Evan, they just don't think enough about, wow, what am I saying and how am I saying it? And by bringing an awareness to it, I think that helps out everybody. And then somebody can say, yeah, geez, you know what? Maybe that word does hurt somebody's feelings a little bit. Maybe that cuts a little deeper than feelings. Maybe it's dehumanizing. Maybe it's demeaning. Maybe it's just flat out nasty. So that's really what we're trying to accomplish here is an awareness and an educational opportunity for everybody.
And last comment for you, Steve, a couple of people have emailed to say, but isn't that, in this case, isn't that actually a medical term, a retardation, mental retardation? And my reaction to that is both, yes, it has a medical history, but most of the time when people are using it, they're not using it to reference anything in a medical term. Typically, it's used in two ways. It's used as sort of a regular pejorative that something is so gay or something is retarded to say they don't like it. And then it can be used even more viciously to go after someone very directly and to insult. I don't think it's used medically by most people who say it, which is why we're asking people not to say it. What do you think, Steve?
I would agree with that. I believe actually that most doctors now have gotten away from that terminology, and they go to they're referred to, and the phrase is escaping me, but they've gone away from the phrase mental retardation. And I think you're right. And even if it's an old school doctor that still uses that, I think that most people in society are not using it in medical terminology. They're using it in a derogatory way. And it's time, you know, to move on and change the way people are thinking and the way people are speaking to and with each other.
Sure. And if you say, you know, well, I didn't know. Well, now that's what this awareness campaign is about. You know, Barbara.
Absolutely.
Barbara.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, a listener named Joel emails the program to say that Barbara Munson was an Oneida who said, quote, "When someone says you are hurting them by your action and words, if you then persist, the harm becomes intentional." In other words, once you gain awareness about the impact, then you have a choice to make. And if you continue in your actions, then it becomes intentional. I'll let you wrap up however you want to, Steve. Go ahead.
No, I think that hits the nail on the head. And I think, listen, just because people are using those words doesn't make them bad people. It just makes them unaware. And I think it's the job that we have as a society to say, geez, you know what, that's something that you might not want to say that anymore, and here's why. And then have people go, geez, I had no idea. And that's great. That means we're learning, we're educating, we're developing, we're growing. And really, that's what it's all about. And when you can get a society to come together and do those types of things, then that's how the society grows and changes and evolves. If you got people that just throw a stake in the ground and say, ah, the heck with it, I'm not going to change, and this is who I am, and this is the way we go, well, that's when things start to break down pretty significantly. So this is a big deal. It's a big deal to a lot of people. It's a big deal, obviously, to us here at Bishop Kearney, and we're putting our best foot forward to try and make a change in the world.
Steve is the president of Bishop Kearney, and taking the time to join the program to tell us about how Kearney is getting involved this week. National Spread the Word to End the Word Day is on Wednesday. It's r-word.org to learn more and to take the pledge. And Steve, thanks for joining the program and telling us what you, and I think maybe even more importantly, what the students are doing about this issue this week. We appreciate it.
I thank you very much, Evan. Have a great day, my man.
All right, Steve Saluzzo calling from Bishop Kearney. And I see the phone's ringing. If you want to call the program in the last 10 minutes or so as we talk about ending the R word, it's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. My guest in studio is Corey Peels, who's an inclusion specialist at Rochester AmeriCorps. And tell us what that entails. Tell us what you do as an inclusion specialist, Corey.
Well, inclusion's specialist is I go out to the schools, mostly in the city school, and talk to members of my AmeriCorps members, staff, and students about talk about what inclusion is and how we can change that, because there have been times when there have been violence or like not being inclusive or not just being part of something. And my goal is to tell my story and talk about what can we do to change that.
And what you just described are two, I think, very different things: violence and then a lack of inclusion. Violence is, I think everyone can immediately understand, a huge problem. But when it comes to a lack of inclusion, is it typical, are you seeing, whether it's a school, an organization, a person who's in charge, is it someone who's underestimating someone with different abilities and disabilities? Are they intentionally assuming that someone shouldn't be allowed to do certain things? What do you typically see?
I typically see people who have disability and not being accepted and not being part of like sports or not like helping out. And what my goal is to teach these students, because they don't have a disability, is to teach them that, you know, if you see someone that's lonely or new, like at a new school, try to talk to them, be inclusive, have them join in a conversation, whether she or he has a disability.
Let me get to a phone call, because I think we've got an email and a phone call on a similar subject here, and I'll go to Jim and Charlie. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, hi. I'm a guy who tries to be very aware a lot of times, and obviously my words may come off offensive unintentionally. And so my question for this hour is just, what kind of word can be used in this situation to not be offensive? I know Steve mentioned, I think, a word earlier, but at least it eluded him. But I was kind of curious how we can kind of put a solution and trying to really identify maybe the character traits or the physical traits of some of our friends that might be mentally retarded, if that's an offensive word. Sorry, but that's kind of like...
No, I understand the point. Yeah, I think, and Jim, thank you. In fact, Jim's phone call dovetails with Paul's email. Let me read Paul's email. Paul writes, I completely agree regarding the R word. However, determining what is acceptable is a constantly changing task. Your guests are consistently using the words disabled or developmentally disabled, yet others would say that no one should ever be called disabled. All people are simply differently abled. It's difficult. That's from Paul. So I appreciate that point, and I'll see what Corey says. My first reaction is generally when people are making a good faith effort not to be hurtful, that's a great first step. If you are indifferent to the impact of words like retarded or retard, if you don't care even after someone tells you that it can be hurtful, that's a problem. Or if you're intentionally using it to wound, that's a problem. I think people who are giving a good faith effort to understand and be sensitive, most of the time, that's a great place to start. So when it comes to disabled or developmentally disabled, you know, Paul in the email was pointing out different guests using it. Well, WXXI, you know, we've got this partnership with the Galisana Foundation, Move to Include. And we reference, you know, serving people with intellectual and physical disabilities. And we're sensitive to that. We try to stay up to date with what the medical community is saying about descriptions and what I think inclusion specialists like Corey tell us. So I think that evolution is happening, and we try to do it in a good faith way, but I appreciate Jim and Paul pointing out that even people who are not trying to be hurtful can say things without intention. So Corey, let me ask you, first of all, I think the most important thing is if someone is trying to be sensitive and trying to be caring, that's a great first step.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe they use a term that is outdated or that it unintentionally hurts, but if they're not intending to, do you cut them more slack?
No, just ignore it.
Oh, okay, I see. Okay, so ignore terminology that can be hurtful. That is sort of your way. Are there other terms or words? I mean, how do you feel about the word disabled?
Disabled, I think that's kind of like being handicapped, kind of. But
you don't like it.
I don't like it because it just shows that person that he or she is not capable of doing, let's say, working on reading or working on a goal, how to go working on money.
Mm-hmm.
And I have struggle with that, but that doesn't stop me from working on what I have to do.
Yeah, there's something, even if we're really going to parse language, there's something that's even more final about saying someone is disabled versus someone has a disability.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's not endorsing disability as a term, but someone is disabled is sort of a final kind of statement about someone. They're just not able to do things, and that is kind of striking. I understand exactly why Corey's saying shouldn't like that term.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand it very well. And I'm drawn back to what it was an RIT professor who said recently that, you know, before eyeglasses, people with issues with vision were essentially just disabled or had a disability, and it was very limiting.
Right.
And here I am. My eyes get worse every year. If I didn't have this technology, this opportunity, you know, I would have a disability. But as it stands now, I just have glasses. You know, so it's amazing what is allowing more of our population
Absolutely.
To be included.
Yes.
And me, you know, with my vision, and I could probably think of many more if I just start thinking about it. Corey,
yes.
You know, and so I take Corey's point on if we say that person is disabled, that's a strong sort of final statement. So we're down to our last 90 seconds here. So just a reminder, we've been having a conversation about ending the R word. National Spread the Word to End the Word Day is March 2nd. That's Wednesday. You can go to r-word.org to take the pledge. Nearly 600,000 people have done so already. And the Galisana Foundation is leading the effort locally. They are, I think it's fair to say, they're leading what has become one of the biggest regional efforts around the country about this word and about this effort and about this awareness campaign. which is on Wednesday. So r-word.org, if you want to do that and share it with your friends, et cetera. You heard Corey Peels and her explanation for why she thinks that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. And so let me just get some final thoughts from you then. You know, is our community becoming more inclusive? Are we getting better by the day?
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. I think we'll help. The more people that sign their names on it, the more the word is going to stop.
Well, it's been wonderful talking to you again.
Thank you.
And congratulations on all the success you have.
Thank you.
And thanks for the work that you're doing in this community. And a reminder to our listeners, again, listen to the language we use here and know that we are doing our best to evolve and to listen as well. But I will tell you that Move to Include is a partnership between WXXI and the Golisano Foundation, designed to promote inclusion for people with intellectual and physical disabilities. Through programming and special events, WXXI and the Golisano Foundation look to build a more inclusive community by inspiring and motivating people to embrace different abilities and include all people in every aspect of community life. Our thanks to our various guests this hour. Short break and more connections is next.